Hey everybody, it's the Goots Cast for the 3rd of March. We had AEW and NXT. I gotta say, man, and I find this to be really funny. My Twitter feed was nothing but AEW, hardly any NXT talk, which was great because it didn't spoil the show. But dude, everything that AEW said they were gonna be, NXT now is. Now, sure, there was like a sports entertainment, there was sports entertainment shit with Johnny Gargano, but for the most part, NXT is a purely sports-based wrestling match driven show.
Yes.
And that's what AEW was supposed to be, and it's not that at all anymore.
No. And while I do think NXT was a better show tonight, I can understand why they're only talking about AEW on Twitter, because AEW is a more entertaining show. It's a more exciting show.
I like this week's NXT way better than I think NXT's been a better show than AEW for weeks, and this
week, I think NXT was better this week too, but it's also AEW is more exciting. There's more, like, it's just more exciting. I don't know how to explain.
I know, except for like some very bad parts, but we'll get into of NXT. Let's start with AEW first.
All right, AEW, it's a live show tonight. It begins as advertised, the Cody Rhodes match first. So Cody Rhodes comes out with Red Velvet and bump against Shaq and Jade Cargill. Shaq looks like a fucking man in a ring with children. He is fucking, I forget how big Shaq is.
Because he does all these Papa John commercials and shit.
So. Yeah, and he's always sitting down now.
Then you show the Dollar Store General or something. He does like every commercial they ask him to do. Dollar
General. He's not only tall, he's like
big,
like massively big. Yeah, and he's just huge. And so this match, I had very low expectations for this match. So I think if you have low expectations, it's not that bad. There's a moment where Shaq's doing a lot of chops. He's just chopping Cody a lot. There's a point where he's outside the ring and the Gun Club members, which is like Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn, Billy Gunn's children, they hit Shaq in the back with a chair. Shaq beats up both of the guns. If anybody's wondering why this happened, it's because the Gun Club are in the same fight camp with Cody, the Natural Nightmares.
Which they barely said on commentary, because I was wondering where the and he kind of and
Excalibur somebody mentioned it. Somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
They should have got it more. They should have said more.
Yeah, but they did. To be fair, they did mention it. Mm-hmm. Red Velvet hits a moonsault off the top out to the outside. That was a cool moment. Jade, they set up tables on the hard cam area. Too long. What?
Took way too long to set up the
tables. Took way too long to set up tables, yeah. Shaq, who's only been doing chops this whole time, he does the Brody Lee fucking powerbomb, which I thought was fucking cool as hell. Because when he did the fucking Brody Lee slant, people fucking went ape shit. Cody Rhodes no-sells the fucking powerbomb. He took a powerbomb. When I was a kid, this move used to kill people. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And he fucking hit him with a powerbomb. Cody no sells it. He's back up on his fucking feet, like, right away. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then basically Shaq ends up in the apron. Cody does a fucking crossbody. They both go flying through the tables. Shaq first. It looked amazing. And then Jade Cargill hit, like, her version of the Glam Slam, which is, like, you know, like a double chicken wing fucking face sit-down face buster move for Jade and Shaq to win. Afterwards, Shaq is put on a gurney and he's put into the ambulance. They come back for commercial break. Tony Schiavone tries to go interview him in the ambulance. They open the door. There is no Shaq sitting in the ambulance.
The Bray Wyatt kidnapped.
Bray Wyatt character. What did you think of this match? What did you think of this whole thing?
I think it was very good. I thought Shaq did a great job. I thought the internet's going crazy for Jade Cardinale. I thought she was terrible. What the fuck's her name?
Who's Jade Cardinale, though?
Who is this fucking broad in the match?
Jade Cargill. But where'd you get the name Cardinale?
I don't know. I fucking
okay. We could call it that. Jade Cardinale. Jade Cardinale for now.
She wasn't very good, and people are overpraising this match. Wait, I think don't get me wrong. I will give Shaq a ton of credit. I expected nothing, and he did a great job. But Jade, I thought Jade was not ready. I think she messed up a lot of spots.
There was a couple of bone spots, 100%.
Yeah, I think overpraise this company gets is insane. But I got to give Shaq credit for the powerbomb and the Brody Lee tribute. I thought that was very nice of him. And going through a table, man, I got to give Shaq credit. He's old guy.
That looked really good, didn't it?
It looked really good. And, yeah, I got to give him credit. But all in all, I didn't really care for this match. I didn't like it.
I thought it was an exciting opening match just because Shaq was
in it. I mean, it was definitely interesting. But, like, when the women were in, it just I thought this girl – I don't think this girl's good. The internet loves her, though.
Obviously. She's not, but I had such low expectations. I thought this was going to be, like, a train wreck, and it wasn't.
If Bad Bunny has – if this was, like, the exact same match, but it's, like, it was the Bad Bunny match, the internet would shit all over it, but because it's AEW, it was okay. I'll say the best worker in the match was Shaq, which is insane to me. I think Cody Rhodes got overwhelmed with the match. I don't think I think he got nervous. I think that's why. I don't think he meant to not sell the powerbomb. I just think he knew he had to get to his next spot or Shaq would get.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably true. But at the end of the day, he still no sold the fucking
powerbomb. I think I don't blame him. I think he was nervous. I do blame him, but I don't blame him.
Jade Cargill, visually, she looks great, right? She looks
just something like, missing.
She looks like an American gladiator, right?
Yeah.
But she is not a good wrestler. But to be fair, she's also a brand new wrestler.
Did you notice every time she sold, they didn't put the camera on her face?
Dude, she was not a good wrestler. She was terrible.
No, she's not. Everything she did, everything she did was out of their mind.
Yeah, everything she did was not good. But it wasn't a train wreck. I will say that it wasn't a train wreck. I'll say
this: Dave Meltzer praises her and he shits on. I was about to call her Tony Stark. What the fuck's her name?
Yeah,
Zoe Stark. If he praises this broad, but shits on Zoe Stark and Io Shirai, you can tell he's getting some dollar bills. Oh. I think they're all, by the way, I think a lot of people are getting dollar bills from Tony Khan.
If anyone is going like, well, you can't like judge her based on her performance because she's brand new. Here's another, I'm going to give you the flip side of this, guys. In AEW, there is a guy wrestling on Dark who's only been wrestling for 4 months, according to them. This is their words. He's only been wrestling for 4 months. His name is Carly Bravo, and he is fucking good for somebody who's been wrestling for 4 months. He's ridiculously good for someone who's been wrestling for 4 months. So, yes, you can be new and be fucking good. Jade Cargill is new, and she is not good. She doesn't know how to sell. She doesn't know how to fucking throw basic kicks. Visually, she looks great, though. I get that. Visually, she looks great.
I get that. I think she should be someone's manager or something, or like.
Yeah, I think a manager is good. We also know she gives bad fucking promos, you know, because she's giving two promos. If I never have to see her wrestle again, I'll be okay with that. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to see her wrestling. So.
I feel like she's going to get the women's title like by fucking May.
Yeah. What do you think is happening with Shaq? Why was he not in Amex? Did the general come pick him up?
Yeah, I think he's on NBA tomorrow. I think he's just gonna be like, yeah, it hurt for a little bit, but you know, I'm Shaq, I shook it off. Whatever. I'll see you next time, Cody Rhodes in the ring.
Cupcake Cody.
I do think him and Big Show should have a match, and I think they should do a double or nothing.
I thought he was gonna show up again later tonight. That's why he wasn't in the ambulance. But like nothing else happens. It's like I was like, what? All right. But anyway, it's fine opening. It's fine.
I think he was supposed to be like, he's such a badass. He just got up out of the ambulance and walked away. But they should have showed him walking away.
They should have showed him getting out of the ambulance going like, that was nothing. And just fucking walk away, you know?
Yeah, like whatever.
Instead it was mysterious. Like, where is he?
like the Undertaker took him. Shaq.
Yeah. Tony Schiavone was like, I saw him go in.
It'd be funny if he just magically appeared in what's his name in AEW and NXT with the Dexter Lumis's house. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, that would be funny. All right. Match number two is Pac and Phoenix versus two jobbers. John Skyler and D3, who have been featured on Dark, who've never lost. I mean, who's never won. This is the squash match. They get killed. Ray Phoenix hits his fucking knee strike, inverted, sit out pile driver on John Skyler. D3 didn't even actually get a tag into this match. It's just a fucking
Dude, this was so fast. I was like, did they know
why this match was there?
Yeah, why I don't even know why. You might as well have just had a promo. I mean, like, why waste Rey Fénix on this if you're not going to let him show what he can do? Or even Pac, why waste these guys? Just have Pac cut a promo in the back or something. This was like a waste of time.
I was trying to think, like, these guys, I don't even
know. I have a feeling that they fucked up the time management of this show. So they told these guys, you only have like a minute.
That or like, because I was thinking, like, these guys don't have anything to hype up for Revolution pay-per-view. Like, Pac isn't in anything, right?
Isn't he in the ladder match?
But they didn't fucking, like, really hype that part up. So the only thing I was thinking was this. There's probably a lot of people who are not AEW fans who tuned in to watch this Shaq thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then they were like, they might stay on for the next segment.
Want to stay for Jericho. I get it.
Yeah, they were like, we just got to put these two guys in who can, like, fucking wrestle really fucking good. And that's Pac and Phoenix. And I'm like, oh, I get it. And then just have them squash so they look good. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Then the next thing is Inner Circle's press conference. I don't know why they're having a press conference, but they're having a fucking press conference.
This was the worst segment on the show by far.
Was this the worst segment? Yes, this was the worst segment. Absolutely.
This is horrible.
There's some good contenders, but this is the worst segment of not the night, but of the Dynamite.
Oh, show. Not the night, because something on NXT beats it. But oh, of God, this show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But this was not good. You know what this felt like to me? This felt like Jericho going, I need to be on the show and I need to be on early, right? Like as close to the fucking Shaq thing as possible to get the most eyes on me. This is what I feel like is what's going on here. So anyway, Inner Circle comes out. Dasha's doing a press conference. I have no idea why they're doing a press conference. A couple of guys from Barstool Sports comes out and fucking interviews them. Asking
questions.
They have fucking mic problems the whole night. There's a lot of times a mic coming out. You can't even hear it. Conrad Thompson comes out to ask a question. I popped for that. I was like, oh shit, it's Conrad. He is huge. And they shit all over him, call him fathead. Then Eric Bischoff comes out to ask a question. I don't know why this guy keeps getting invited back. He looks terrible.
I think they like having like Bischoff and Sting and Arn Anderson hang around. So they can have like a legacy to the TBS days. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's probably why.
If they can have Bischoff just come out and say a few dopey things, they'll do that every 6 months. I think they feel like that makes them the successor, that Bischoff is kind of there like as spiritual, like giving them like the blessing or something.
Yeah. And then the whole press conference is a lot of the questions are all geared towards the Bucks because they have a match against the Bucks at Revolution. Bucks come out. They talk about how they beat the shit out of his dad. And they were like, if it wasn't for our dad, they would not be in Young Bucks. And if there's no Young Bucks, there's no AEW. And if there's no AEW, you, Jericho, you would be curtain jerking at the PC Center. And everyone's like, ooh.
I wish, you know what Jericho should have said? It would have been funny. Like, because it just would have made him look stupid. He doesn't make himself look stupid anymore. Actually, I'd be curtain jerking at the Thunderdome, Jr., get it straight. Thunderdome! You know, like...
Yeah, that would actually have been funny if he said that.
I'm a main eventer. I'm a Kirk and Chirk at the Thunderdome.
Yeah. Like, but anyway, they all start fighting, and then Brendan Cutler comes out to try to fucking even up the odds, and then the Good Brothers come out, and then they get some tables, and they help the Bucks put the Santina and Ortiz on the tables, and then the Bucks fucking dive through the table. So it hasn't even been an hour, and already four tables have been destroyed on AEW.
Dude, first of all, the setup between the table spot and them hitting the table spot was so long. Like, I think I saw one of the Proud and Powerful guys look up. Like, is this guy going to hit me? Like, what's
going on? Yeah.
You know what I mean? First of all, number one, the best thing that AEW has done has made me realize what fucking, if you're just nice to wrestling journalists, what sellout jerk-offs they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Barstool Sports guys, Dave Meltzer. If this podcast like had like real like an actual listenership, we would blow it up. And they invited me to be to interview on AEW. I would be like, no, and they'd be like, why? I'm sure a lot of comedians be like, you're a fucking idiot. It's like because that takes away what I can say on my podcast because now I feel like I work for you guys.
Wait, would they pay for everything? like for me to go down there and all that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it though.
I'd be like, Ray's not gonna go, but I'll go, guys.
No, I just feel like, but I feel like that takes away, like, once we're characters on the show. Because, like, I just feel like if Tony, let's say next week Tony Khan does something really fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. After Tony Khan bought you dinner, got you a hotel room. Okay, Tony Khan, okay, let's say this. He does everything for you, right? He pays, takes you and Tony Khan go out to dinner together alone. And he buys you drinks. You're drinking with Jericho.
No, I know what you mean. Conflict of interest.
Yeah, yeah, but then the next week, he fucking, like, puts the belt on Brandon Cutler. Like, Brandon Cutler beats Kenny Omega, and he's the new champion. And you want to say, this is the fucking dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. He might be like, dude, we had dinner. I paid your hotel room. Now you're shitting on me making Brandon Cutler the face of the company. I don't understand. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
No. I understand. Yeah, that's exactly. I understand what it is.
Because then I feel like now you have to be like, okay, well, Brandon Cutler got the belt, but let's see where it goes. You know, Tony Khan. Yeah,
I think a lot of people are realizing this.
But that's my first problem.
Uh-huh.
My second problem was the Bucks promo was so long and fucking stupid. Why didn't you? Dude, if I was Jericho MJF, I just would have fucking punched them. They were going on about how their dad told them about faith. Why are they letting these guys go on and on? They go on and on right next to them. The most boring fucking promo about their dad. This made me, every time the Bucks try to do something WWE-like where they cut a WWE-style promo, it makes me like them even less, and I could barely fucking stand them as it is. Like, they're just so fucking unlikable. You know,
I don't like hate them like you, but I also didn't get in a Twitter fight with them. I think they
called me old 10 years ago, pieces of shit.
I think you do have like a little bias against them.
They were so unlikable in this promo. They told about, did they teach you to hate the first president?
Don't get me wrong. I don't think this promo was good, but I don't think it was like, oh my God, they're fucking unlikable. It just was like, you know, it was that PC and, part was fun.
And then, like, they're getting beat up by five guys, and they recover, and they recover long enough to get Proud and Powerful on tables, slowly set it up. Like, dude.
No. The Good Brothers got one.
I know, but, like, they took a long time to come out, too. And, like, and then the other thing is, so I guess, did you hear about the Tony Khan promo on Impact last night?
Oh, I watched Impact last night. I
the way you said it.
You know, you know what? Here's the thing about it. It actually wasn't as bad as the week before, but that AEW ad, that needs to go. Like, they need to get fucking rid of it. That
dude, thing is garbage. Like, all the same team, but AEW's on in control or something.
Oh yes. So last night on Impact, they did an AEW ad. It's only the Tony Schiavone and Tony Khan, and Tony, the only takeaway from this was Tony Khan says, Impact and AEW and New Japan, we are all the same. And it's us against them. And you guys know who them is. And that he's trying to was saying, like, we need to all work together. It was a complicated fucking thing because he's saying we got to all work together. But at the same time, he's doing this thing where he's like, but I'm mad at you, Impact, because you guys aren't playing. He's still playing a heel. He's going like, we need to work together, but I'm still mad at you because your Don Callis is still being a dick or something like that. It was just like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Yeah, they've completely lost the narrative with this crossover.
Dude, this guy is such a mark for himself. He's become a mark for himself.
Oh yeah, right. Did you see they had a banner that said a best TV show?
Oh yeah, garbage. That was like, you put up a fake fucking award from it's not even a real, like,
a bunch of guys use cum rags.
Yeah.
They don't change out their cum rags.
Jeez, come on, dude. Tony Khan, dude. But I mean, like, what should we have? What should we have expected from a guy who was like such a super like wrestling observer geek growing up? Like, no, I mean, I know, what do you expect? Like, right.
Yeah. Dude, I just wouldn't put that banner up. Maybe I would thank Dave Meltzer on the internet if that was my company, but I just wouldn't put the banner up. It just makes
you know what he needs to do. He needs to, like, stop being on TV.
Who?
Like, he needs to stop being a character.
You know what they need? They've completely lost. So the narrative I thought of this storyline, which was a good. I don't know how this guy won Best Booker. He barely books anything.
Default.
Yeah, I guess.
Default.
I would say like, hey, you know what? Didn't they uploaded some new episodes of 1992 WCW. Bill Watts is the best booker. Because that counts as new. It has been available all these years. This is what I thought the storyline was. And it was a pretty good fucking storyline. Kenny Omega is now an egomaniac. He's turned on AEW. He's with Don Callis. The Good Brothers are with him. And they don't really give a shit about the Young Bucks because Kenny Omega wants to do his own thing. The Good Brothers and Kenny Omega are using the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks kind of suspect it. They know the Good Brothers aren't really their friends. And meanwhile, Kenny Omega is going to take on Rich. He's taking on everyone. Rich Swann, Laredo Kid, people in New Japan, Dean Ambrose, what the fuck they call him over here. But Kenny Omega just is being, his mind's being poisoned by Don Callis. The Good Brothers are in on it. And it's eventually going to lead to the Good Brothers versus Young Bucks. And they're not even doing that. Now the Good Brothers are just friends with the Young Bucks. They just come out to be friends with the Young Bucks. And so, but Kenny Omega is still a bad guy. Like it should have been Kenny Omega is the ultimate heel. He's the heel. He's the head heel. And the Good Brothers are his henchmen. But if the Good Brothers are getting along with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are good guys, and Kenny Omega is a bad guy, you get my point saying how fucking annoyingly stupid that is?
Yeah, yeah. It's already tiring just hearing it. It's just like, they fucked it up.
They fucked it up, bro. And it's like...
One thing from this angle they did that I think is going to come out of it, though, is I think the Good Brothers are going to have a match probably against Santina and Ortiz somewhere. Because guys are the ones who set him up on the tables. It's gonna happen.
I just don't know what the point. I don't know what the point of this of any of this shit is. I mean, even like they come out, Jim Ross is kind of shit. They're an Impact Tag Champs. Like they won like the fucking Toy Fair belt.
I don't think he said it like that.
No, he said it like that.
No, he said like the Impact Tag Champs are doing all good things over there. I remember some something like that. I was like, oh, he acknowledged.
I don't know. I just feel like, dude. By the way, remember when you thought that Tommy Dreamer was working an angle? We're not happy with these crossover. I don't think they're working an angle, dude.
I don't know. I think that might be an angle.
But what are they gonna, dude? You don't give an interview, then start the angle 3 years later.
I know. No, like I said, I think it might be an angle. If it is, and I've mentioned this to you in text, if it is, they're fucking geniuses. If it's not, they're fucking moron. You know.
I don't think it's an angle because they.
We'll see.
I think it's only been like a week. I think Tommy Dreamer wants to make it an angle, but I think that's how he feels. I would feel the same way. I would literally say if Tony Khan, I'd be like, if I was Scott D'Amore, I'd be like, I need an Impact guy to interfere at Revolution in some match, like, or this deal's off. I'm pulling the Good Brothers. The deal's
no. Off. I know what Scott D'Amore would say. What if I come out?
Yeah, I know. What if I come out?
That's what I got. Entrance music, guys. I got a new time trot. I got a entrance music.
Yeah, dude. I just think they need to say to Tony Khan, like, what is this doing for us? Not doing anything. Something needs to give, or we're not doing this anymore, and we're gonna pull.
Yeah, I don't think Tony Khan is doing this with the sole goal of making the most amount of money. No. I think he's doing this because this is a billionaire's toy. And I think the thing is,
they finally do the New Japan crossover, and then they just don't follow up with it.
Well, they can't really too much. Those guys are all
in Japan. Acknowledge that Moxley beat Kenta. Like show a clip of it.
Yeah, I know. They didn't. That happened, by the way. Moxley beat Kenta on New Japan Strong last Friday, and they didn't even mention that. Yeah, they didn't.
Like, dude, like,
stupid. Yeah,
it just, weird. I don't know. If you weren't going to go... See, to me, the most interesting thing was that New Japan kind of felt betrayed by the Elite. That, to me, is interesting.
Yes.
So the New Japan should be sending guys in because they're pissed that Cody, Kenny, and Young Bucks made their name there. Because
they betrayed them.
What?
They betrayed them.
Yes, they really – they built their brand on New Japan was the cool company when those guys were there. Uh-huh. And they basically took – All Elite Wrestling is basically like American New Japan.
Yeah. I would have been like, you guys wouldn't have been anywhere if it wasn't for us building you up in our company. And you and took that Meltzer, all our hard work and you've like, yeah, you stole
everything
that
Meltzer would overly praise about New Japan. He's doing it to AEW. Like, they stole the whole identity. But they built that identity off New Japan's fucking.
That's what New Japan should say. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought
they fucked it up. This is, you know, that's all.
But it's just like, dude, it's so simple. So like, this show could be the hottest show on the planet. Not just.
You know what? It's simple if you don't have egos. But I think that's what happens. Egos get in the way, and then you go
I think Tony Khan.
I want to make it more about myself or something like that. So,
and you know what? If Kenny, the Young Bucks, and Cody are not ready for that storyline, don't fucking introduce New Japan until they're ready and until the pandemic's over. Don't half-ass introduce New Japan during this pandemic. Just don't do it.
Let's move on, man. We stay way too much on that. John, they show speaking of Moxley, they do a John Moxley, Kenny Omega video package for their exploding barbed wire death match with spliced in clips of like these kind of matches in Japan. And they get Onita, who's a Japanese deathmatch legend, talking about how like this match is different or everything. I thought it was actually a very good video package. The splicing in of the fucking old footage of actual death matches and stuff like that. I thought that was very well done.
It was well done. You know, I don't give a fuck about Onita. I used to when I was younger. I don't care about him anymore.
I've never cared about Onita.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit. I don't like that blood shit.
And I know they should have done a little bit more to explain who the fuck Onita was, but it is what it was.
They do. I remember after the thing, Excalibur did mention that. Like, he's like a legend in the death matches.
Say that before. Say that we have an interview with a legend.
Yeah.
We have an interview with the greatest death match legend. It was fine, though. It was okay.
This is the only hype we're going to see of the Moxley Omega death match thing in this show.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Right after tonight's show and Dynamite, they had a countdown show, which I think they did like a full thing about the feud and stuff. But that's probably why they didn't do it. But I mean, I'm not going to watch the fucking countdown show. So.
No, I didn't watch that. I got to fucking watch NXT.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to match number three, FTR and Tully Blanchard, who comes out with JJ Dillon versus the Jurassic Express. I will say this. This is my opinion. They need to cut this fucking song down to just the fucking chorus.
Okay.
Because every time people want to fucking do the sing-along, they can't because these fucking lyrics are in the way. You know, like, they just got to cut the song down.
Jungle Boy. I thought you meant FTR.
Jungle Boy's fucking entrance theme. They just cut it. Tonight, when the lyrics were going on and then it was coming back to the chorus, they fucking cut the song because they were like, all right, now we got to start the match. And everybody started going, oh, because they were getting ready to fucking do it. And I was just like, yeah, why do you guys have this fucking, just cut it down to the chorus. Anyways, there is a part where JJ Dillon uses his shoe to fucking to hit somebody in the face with it. I think it was Jungle Boy. Tully Blanchard hits his slingshot suplex, which does get a good pop. I fucking liked it. Then this cameraman kind of assists FTR, and they ended up doing the assisted spike power drive, a power driver on Luchasaurus for the FTR and Tully Blanchard to win. They all get together, and the masked cameraman turns out to be a new blonde, Sean Spears, who's also being managed by Tully Blanchard. They all get together, and Arn Anderson comes out, and he looks at everybody. This is the fucking four fingers. And they do the fucking four fingers, even though there's fucking five of them there, right? Stupid as fuck. It's like, no, you understand. Tully Blanchard is the fourth wrestler. So you're telling me that JJ Dillon is going to be managing Sean Spears, FTR, and Tully Blanchard wrestle again?
Let me say this. Two things. Yes. I'm going to say two things to you. First off, I hated this. Second off, I didn't hate it after I found that. Jim Crockett Jr., the promoter, Jim Crockett, passed away tonight. So I think Arn Anderson coming out and doing this and then was to pay tribute to Jim Crockett.
I'm gonna take a page from your book. They should have mentioned something like that tonight.
They should have. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he died until after the show was off the air. They should have, because Jim Crockett is basically the reason why there's an AEW right now. Because if his NWA didn't take off and then become WCW, who's give a fuck? But those three guys do it. That was kind of, you know, that's their fucking, that's their, you know, I don't know, Austin's this or Hogan's this. That's their this.
I'm going to say they didn't even fucking know. They just did it because they think it's a cool moment, which, but it looks fucking
stupid. I kind of feel like they knew in the back and they told Arn to walk out and do that.
It reminded me of when.
Because he looked TNA, very weird Arn doing
it. You know what it reminded me? It reminded me of like TNA when they had Fortune and they would do four fingers and there'd be like fucking five, six guys.
I know. I kind of feel like it's like a tribute to the past, like with Tully and Arn and being like, remember when you did this?
But I think it looks stupid now. I think it's stupid. There's five people.
Well, the guy died, and if that's a little tribute they gave to him. I mean, it is the night of his fucking death, this loser. Not a loser. He was a cool dude. Like, he had a good company. Here's my thing. This is why I also fucking hated this match. Why the fuck did anyone in this match sell for Tully Blanchard? Why the fuck? This guy hasn't been... Listen, you watch the old Tully Blanchard stuff in the 80s. He's fucking awesome. He's amazing. Nobody should be fucking selling for this guy in 2021, especially Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, who you should be trying to groom to being your top stars. Is Drew fucking McIntyre gonna sell for fucking Rick Martel if he shows back up on fucking WWE? Because that's the same era, and he's still in great shape, I heard, Rick Martel. Is he gonna sell for Rick Martel? Is Rick Martel gonna beat up the Street Profits? No, they would never do that. Why the fuck is this old man beating up even Marco Stunt? It looks fucking stupid, bro. Dude, you know what that match should have been? Tully Blanchard's like, I'll start the match. Jungle Boy kicks him in the fucking head and pins him, and that's it. I'm like, why the fuck did you put this old man in the match?
Yeah. Tully didn't look bad in the ring, though.
He
could still move.
Let's find it. Then fucking have Brandon Cutler or the librarian, Pretty Peter Avalon, sell for him. Don't fucking have Jungle Boy sell for him.
Dude. No, I understand. No, I understand. I was just trying to say that, you know, to his credit, he did move well. Anyway,
I like Tully Blanchard, and I felt like he got a bum deal back in the day. I really do. But that's not my problem anymore. And that's not Jungle Boy's problem. And that's not even AEW's problem.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's shit happens in life, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? We want Tully Blanchard to beat up. Then have him fucking beat up this shit out of Pretty Peter Avalon. That's why he's
there. Or these just random jobbers that you have on Dark, you know?
Yeah. You don't need to fucking have Jungle Boy get pinned by... Did Jungle Boy get pinned? Or was it Marcus?
No, Stone? I think he got pinned. Yeah.
Dude, that's... And also, they got us... So one of those guys has to get a haircut because it's fucking... I can't tell if it's Marco or him.
They need to get Marco Stunt
away from Hulk Hogan. Group. Walked around with a midget who looked just like Hulk Hogan.
I would have loved that, dude. They do that in Mexico all the time.
I know, but like Marco Stunt is like,
they have mini versions of regular dudes.
Why is Jungle Boy being pinned by Tully Blanchard in 2000?
He wasn't pinned by Tully Blanchard. Oh. He was pinned by one of the FTR guys.
I thought Tully Blanchard.
But still, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I would have never done this match. You know what they're gonna say? You know why they put Tully in the match, right? It's because they knew JJ Dillon was gonna die tonight. So that's
different. I think they kind of wanted to give Tully Blanchard one last moment in the sun because
he fucked over. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I get that, but he should top guys. Or I think Jungle Boy should be being groomed right now.
Yeah. For pedophiles. I 100% think so.
He should be
being groomed. They are fucking him over.
They are. This doesn't make them look good. This doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make Luchasaurus look good. Oh, man. No. Imagine Kane selling for the Honky Tonk Man 20 years ago.
Yeah. This guy, Jungle Boy, he's kind of like a heartthrob. And I would be like booking him like almost like Darby Allin level. Like a top mid guy. Like a top mid guy. You know? That's where Jungle Boy needs to be. Like a top mid guy. And they need to be building up to like a Jungle Boy fucking Darby Allin thing or a Sammy Guevara thing. Like, he needs to be up there with those two guys. Like MJF, he's not, Sammy Guevara. And he's not. He's like, he's not even in like a competent tag team. They're not a competent tag
the
team.
The other thing about FTR is... when you put them, you keep putting them next to Tully and Arn, they look so inferior to those guys.
I think they're good. They're a good tag team. I like the way they move and stuff, but you know what it is? It's like they're too much. They're too like one dimensional now. They're just like, we're like a throwback to an old team. And you're just like, they're really living up the throwback to the old team. It's like, all right, dude, is that all you are? Throwbacks. It's like, come on, like be more than this.
I feel like I feel like the gimmick worked a lot better in NXT.
Yes, it did. You know why? Admit, they weren't surrounded because they weren't surrounded by fucking old guys.
Yeah, exactly. They're not surrounded by the fucking old guys they're supposed to be emulating.
Yeah.
You know who would have been a better manager for them? I know you don't like this guy, but this probably would have also been better in WWE if he was the manager. Jim Cornette would have been a better manager for them.
That's true. Yeah.
Because Jim Cornette.
I don't like Jim Cornette, but I also know he's a good manager.
Yeah, he would be much better manager. But I think they should have done it in WWE, had him be. But I do kind of think they should. I would have liked to see them do the clown gimmick. I feel like the clown gimmick would have actually helped them.
Maybe, who knows? Well, that it's a never gonna happen for now.
Well, it might get rehired.
Yeah. So Tully and FTR wins, and I guess they're short on time because fucking before these guys even leave the ring, Tony Schiavone comes out the entrance way and he's got some microphone. He's talking about, hey, I'm gonna be bringing out this guy I've been working with in 20 years. And as they're leaving, JJ Dillon decides to get himself over and he goes, "That's the best you're ever gonna see," into the fucking Tony Schiavone's mic, and Tony Schiavone's like, "Yeah, you're not gonna get paid for that extra." Holy shit on him. Everyone.
Oh, I heard everybody that works in WCW didn't like JJ Dillon.
Yeah, everyone laughs at JJ Dillon, and he like stops. You could tell he wants to fucking say something back to Tony Schiavone, but he knows like he can't, and he just.
But I feel like you want to say to him, "Go fuck yourself." This isn't the old days.
Yeah. I think. Well, you think Tony Schiavone wanted to say that to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Tony Schiavone got the fucking, like, he got his in, you know, saying that, like, yeah, you're not going to get paid extra for that, you know? And JJ Dillon just had to fucking take it. He got laughed at, and he looked like a fucking idiot. He looked like an idiot for trying to get himself over. Like, why would you fucking do that? He's an idiot. And then Paul White comes out, formerly known as Big Show, and he goes, he's excited to fucking be doing the color commentary for Elevation, which I am actually looking forward to seeing. And then he drops a bombshell. Well, not really a bombshell. He goes,
depends.
He goes, this Sunday at Evolution. He called it the wrong name. It's supposed to be Revolution, but where he's like, Evolution. AEW is signing a Hall of Fame worthy talent who's going to be a good big asset, but it's not who you think it is. I just want you to know I knew before you guys did. And so that was it. Who do you think he's talking to?
Well, he definitely was talking about. He was saying it's not going to be CM Punk because I think everyone thinks it's going to be CM Punk.
Yeah, because he said, yeah.
And it's not should be CM Punk.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling only because he's working with Conrad now. It's going to be Kurt Angle. He's going to like manage somebody. Another guy standing there.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking? He was saying Hall of Fame worthy. So I think feel like that means he's
maybe not someone who's not in the Hall of Fame. All right, so let's say it's not in the Hall of Fame. If it's someone who's in the Hall of Fame, I'm gonna go with Kurt Angle. If it's someone who's never been in the Hall of Fame, who would you go with?
I would love it if it was like Brock Lesnar or Batista, something like that.
Batista was supposed to go. Well, Batista technically is not in the Hall of Fame because they have not had that ceremony yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So maybe it could be Batista, and I know like he still isn't so happy with WWE every now and then.
But here's the thing. This is AEW, and they've done these bullshit like announcements of like, this could be the biggest news, and it ends up being it's going to end up being like Carly. I'm going to be like, you motherfucker. Well,
or it could be like something like Chris Hero, and his new gimmick is like, I'm the Hall of Fame or something. Like, I'm Hall of Fame worthy.
I totally can see them like – AEW has a history of doing these shitty announcements where they say like
I definitely think it's an ex-WWE guy.
Yeah, and I feel like it's gonna end up being like a not real like big person that we think it's gonna be. It's gonna be like a Val Venus or some shit like that, you know?
No, Val Venus hates Nyla Rose, probably kill him because he hates.
No, I mean I'm saying I'm just using it as a like
it would be funny if it's Val Venus and he immediately just starts screaming that Nyla Rose is a man. Nyla Rose is a man.
Dude, I wanna like who the fuck cares about Venus? It's fucking not real. Like you guys are actors, basically.
I just that would be funny if they were dumb enough. They're not gonna sign Val Venus. He's crazy.
They should sign him just because he is crazy. Like make him the new GM. Extra. You know what, dude? If he was on Dynamite, you know what would happen every Thursday? Oh my God! Did you see what Valve did said last night? That's what everyone we saw talking. Yeah.
Who else? I'm trying to think. Mark Henry. I was thinking about Mark Henry because he had the.
I've heard of Mark Henry's name. Yeah. Rob Van Dam.
Hall of Pain. So the whole
maybe Rob Van Dam.
No.
They should not sign another no longer in his prime guy.
I guarantee you they do.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm scared of. You know what it needs to be? It needs to be that's why I was hoping like a Brock Lesnar. Somebody
the only person it would be worth it. No, I think Brock is locked up for Bobby.
I know. But imagine he's not. Oh, how great would that be?
Those are the only two people who'd be worth this level of hype would be Brock or Cena.
Or Punk.
It should be Punk.
Yeah.
It should be. I think Punk, if he does wrestle again, it's gonna be after the pandemic is way over.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who it's gonna be. We're gonna find out in less than a week. All right. So we get women's recap, the women's tournament recap, and we go to match number four. It's Nyla Rose versus Rio Mizunami. Nyla Rose has got new gear. Rio Mizunami needs new gear. Her gear looks like shit. I fucking hate all the Joshi wrestlers giving gear. They all look terrible to me. They all look frumpy. They all look like someone like a clown puked all over their clothes. They all have ridiculous shit hanging all over them. Like chains or fucking weird fucking things on it and frizzy things. They all look shitty. Rio's gear looks like garbage. And here's the thing too. Nyla has improved so much. She outworked Rio in this match, in my opinion. Rio hits the fucking guillotine leg drop on Nyla for the win. After she wins the trophy, Shida comes and gives her the trophy. And Rio, like a fucking idiot, elbows. So these guys are going to now have a match at Revolution. She shakes Shida's hand and she fucking forearms her in the face. Goes, yeah, come on, fucking give it to me too. So Shida forearms her back, and these guys are trading forearms back and forth until Shida hits her so hard that she fucking falls down, and she's down looking up at Shida, who's standing, looking like a total loser that she can't even, she's the one who instigated this forearm fighting thing, and then she can't even fucking be the one to, she looked like an idiot. I'm not interested in this fucking match at all. This looks stupid as fuck.
Oh, Rio really? I'm interested in the match. I like this match with Nyla Rose and this woman.
Oh, really? When she was doing all this fucking bullshit pantomiming in the middle of the match and Nyla has to be in the corner any minute now, fucking hurry up and come over and hit me.
I thought it was the best match in AEW tonight. Sorry.
Oh, this was not a good match, dude. This was
I don't know. I thought they were two big bitches going at it.
Nyla was good in this match, though. Nyla did some moves that
I hated Nyla Rose for starting doing this podcast, so for me to give her credit, it had to be interesting.
Was this?
I'm glad the Japanese side won. I think it was the wrong Japanese women wrestler. But I'm glad the Japanese side won. What would you say?
I'm trying to think if this really was the best match on AEW tonight.
I think so.
I fucking could not stand. I never wanted to see Nyla beat the shit out of someone more than this fucking girl. I'm guess what, guys? I'm not making this up. I'm pulling on a fucking fake rope.
I'll tell you what. I think this tournament ends the myth that every Japanese female wrestler is a good wrestler.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah. All right. So then Tony Schiavone's with Sting again, and then Ricky Starks comes out and he goes, "Sting, you're still a bitch." He slaps him. They all start fighting.
You're still a bitch.
You're still a bitch. They all start fighting. Sting locks on the Scorpion Deathlock. And he can't hold it on, so he fucking falls over the hook. And, the best of the fucking Taz's crew comes out. And Brian Cage's got Sting. Darby Allin comes in to make the save. And these Taz's group, these five men, are scared of these two other guys.
I know.
This is the stupidest thing. Darby Allin, okay. He's not a bad wrestler, but... visually, he's a very, very small guy. And Sting's a 60-year-old man. And you're telling me that these five guys, and you have Will Hobbs, you have Brian Cage, You have Ricky Starks. Hook and Taz, I'll fucking say, like, yeah, they don't. But you're telling me, though, those fucking five guys are scared of these two fucking guys. One's 60 years old. One's, like, a little fucking guy. Little kid. Get the fuck out of here. This was stupid. This was fucking dumb.
I think Antonio Inoki died.
Oh, geez. They're dropping.
Everyone's.
Oh, man. They're dropping.
Dude, this is the second Wednesday podcast I had to interrupt to tell you somebody died.
Yeah, I know. When you told me, dude.
And then we talked about the comedian who died. Then, of course, our best friend Richie died on Monday.
Wait, which comedian died?
I was talking about that, my friend Erica Watson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I feel like the week before that, like, didn't...
There was some Queen of Florida guy that I didn't know.
But Butch Reed died, like, a week before that. Butch Reed. Didn't he die, like,
a
week before
that? Butch Reed died, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, anyway, what did you think about this stupid Sting segment? This was
dumb. I hate it. I hate all of it. Dave ruined Sting. They've ruined.
Yeah, they've ruined. They've ruined.
I hopefully Sting, they hired whoever did the Boneyard match. They hired that production team for this one, because if these fucking people have a regular match, I don't know, dude. They have ruined Sting, man. I gotta tell you, they've ruined it.
We go to match number 5. It is 10 of the Dark Order versus Max Caster, who does not, who 10 comes out with a -1, Brody's kid, and Max Caster comes out by himself, does his rap, shits on both 10 and the little kid. And then Scorpio Sky is on commentary and he sucks balls on commentary. He is one of the worst commentators I've heard on AEW so far. He is the worst commentator I've heard on AEW so far. He was bad, not funny. I don't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy.
They don't know either. They don't know.
You know, he was like trying to be funny and none of it was working. And what ends up happening is Jack Evans comes and takes the boombox and he hits 10 in the face for Caster to make the to win. So now Caster's in this ladder match at Revolution. And then they show Matt Hardy give him a fucking envelope of money to Jack Evans because he is out to make Dark Order's life a living hell. That's why he did this.
Why don't the Dark Order just all team up and beat the shit out of this guy? There's like 6 guys in the Dark Order and one guy. I don't understand why when these factions become good, they become fucking idiots. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Matt Hardy said he's out to like destroy all of us. Okay. There's 20 of us. No one even knows our names, even though fucking Brody. Let's just go beat the shit out of him. All right, problem solved.
Did you hear the part where after the ending and like JR is like, oh, like how could they do that and stuff? And he was like you know, doing the thing where you have to be disgusted at.
Dude, it would have been funny if he did say, how could they do that and stuff?
Yeah, like yeah, he was like, you know, like super disgusted by what happened, and Scorpio Sky tries to do a Jerry the King Lawler impression. You know how like the heel caller would do the cackling laugh, like, ah, I loved it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Scorpio Sky did that and what? JR like no sold it.
And JR what?
He no sold it. Like, yeah, he didn't acknowledge it. Because, yeah, he's such an idiot. Scorpio Sky's a fucking idiot. He's an idiot too. Kevin Owens was right about him. He's an idiot.
Oh, why didn't Kevin Owens call him an idiot?
Oh, they don't like each other. Scorpio Sky, when Kevin Owens was started getting booked in PWG, supposedly, he really didn't like Kevin Owens and tried to like get him like no longer booked in PWG. Like, was like, why is this guy here? He's not even a California wrestler. He should not be here. Get him out of here. Doesn't look like a wrestler. Get him out of here. Whatever. And he realized he was wrong, supposedly, years later. And he, to his credit, he even, like, apologized to Kevin Owens. But I don't think Kevin Owens still forgives. I think, like, Kevin Owens is like, all right, cool, man. I'll take your apology. But, like, I don't, like, we're not friends. I think that's the story. Yeah. But, I don't know. Now, he just didn't like, he didn't like Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens thinks he's an idiot. Which, he has proven that he is an idiot tonight. Speaking of idiots, we have Miro coming out, and Miro talks about Sunday, and he goes, everybody thinks Miro going to stop playing games. Well, this Sunday, game over. I'm like, all right, sure.
Fucking horrible.
Match number 6. Matt Hardy, and I can't believe this is the fucking last match. I don't know why this was the closing match. Matt Hardy and Mark Quinn versus John Silver and Hangman Adam Page. The crowd was back at this show, by the way. They had over 1,000 people there because of Shaq. They said they sold it out to whatever capacity they could. And this is what I found out. John Silver is not over.
Not over?
Dude, this crowd was dead for this shit. Yeah, I don't know about you. Nobody cares about John Silver. It was fucking dead. He's not over. Before, we couldn't really tell because it's like there's like the only people cheering him on are the wrestlers, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, the wrestlers are going crazy. Because, yeah, because the wrestlers fucking, you know, it's like a comedian who's playing to the back of the room. All the fucking comics like him. But then when you put him on fucking in front of an audience, everyone's like, oh, who's this little fucking guy? I don't fucking know. You know, nobody gives a shit about John Silver. Hangman Page hits the buckshot lariat on Mark Quinn for the win. Afterwards, Matt Hardy comes out and he attacks Hangman Page because they have a match on Sunday. And then all the fucking tag teams who were involved in the tag team fucking match come out. They all, everyone fucking fighting. And then that's how the show ends. Horrible ending.
I don't know why they think this Matt Hardy, Hangman Page. I don't even know why these two are feuding. I don't know why they think this is such an interesting storyline. I don't know why this was the main event. I don't think it was a good episode. I kind of thought it was a better episode than I went into this being okay. It wasn't that great of an episode, but there was some. No, everything. I think everything sucked. Everything sucked.
It was better than last week's.
Yes, it was more. It was more action packed than last week.
Yes. It was more. It was better than last week's. But to say this was a good episode of Dynamite would be a lie.
Which, by the way, the internet is saying. So.
Yeah, but you know what? I could be wrong, guys.
We're right. They're wrong.
No, I could be wrong. The guy who puts this together, a horrible episode. He is Booker of the Year for 2020.
Oh, well, yes. I forgot about that.
I mean, what do I know? I'm not, you know, 1,000 people didn't vote on me. So what do I know? Anyways, you don't need to watch that Dynamite. No. Guys. Let's get into NXT. First matchup, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Timothy Thatcher and Ciampa. They do show a little inset clip of what happened the day before. Wes Lee of MSK has injured his hands, so they cannot face the tag team champions. Ciampa suggests himself and Timothy Thatcher. They say, you can't just get a title match. They go, all right, fine, a non-title match. As Ciampa is walking to the ring and he gets Timothy Thatcher, they show Timothy Thatcher standing there with Marcel Bartel of Imperium, which I did like that little subtle nod to their history. Match happens. As the match is happening, all three members of Imperium come out and they stand in the entranceway, which distracts Timothy Thatcher and Ciampa, which allows Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch to hit their shitty tag team finishing assisted DDT on Timothy Thatcher for Oney and Burch to win. It was an okay opening match. Not as exciting as the AEW opening match, but it's not a bad match.
I liked it better than the AEW because it was a real match. I liked the
ending fact was stupid.
What?
Ending was stupid.
Yeah, but I like the match. I like that Oney Baloney and the other guy are looking good. You know, they're treated like actual superstars.
Yeah, but I don't like their finisher, and I thought the ending was like, oh my god, these guys are standing there. Ugh!
Well,
like,
you know, Timothy Thatcher was in Imperium.
No, I know that. Yeah, ring comp. Mm. But you're telling – he was also standing in the back talking to Marcel Bartel. Like before he came out for this match. So why is he all of a sudden fucking surprised?
Yeah, no, I know. I think that they're hinting that Timothy Thatcher is going to go back to Imperium, but
yeah,
I don't know. I liked it. I was a solid match. I know the ending was stupid, but they're building something. They're building a storyline. Maybe it'll lead to Tabasco champion versus Walter.
That would be good. I would watch that.
Yeah.
They should do Thatcher versus Walter. That would be
great too. Yeah. Either match. So, yeah. I think Walter is headed to the United States for Mania season.
Maybe we'll see. That was I'm okay with that. All right, so Roderick Strong, he comes up to the ring. He calls out Adam Cole. Boy. Instead, Finn Balor comes out. Finn Balor, Roderick Strong blames Finn Balor. He goes, "You're the reason why our group imploded." And Finn Balor goes, "I'm not the reason why your group imploded. Your group imploded because everybody's after this belt. And here's the thing, you." And as he goes, that's why I'm challenging Adam Cole next week. And he goes, Roderick Strong, you will never be. You know why? Because you're always a follower. And then Roderick Strong starts fighting him, and you know to pull apart. We get a Sanjay Dutt cameo. What did you think of this?
I just wish Adam Cole would come out and just, it's so simple. Like, I wanted the belt. These idiots are holding back. I just wish he would cut the promo. Roderick Storm, strong, whatever the fuck. His voice is horrible for promos. Remember, he's doing the Apollo Crews. Oh, Adam Cole. And Finn Balor nailed him. You're going to be a follower. You're not.
No, that part was good, dude. Because you know what it was? It was one of those like, oh my God, he got him good. Like, low.
Because it's true.
It's true. Roderick Strong is never going to be the top guy. And it's because he might be like a great worker in the ring, but
Can I tell you something? When you say that to a person out loud on the national TV show, I feel like that's when that person, you have to say, I think it's important for them to have said that to Roderick, because I feel like if he's ever going to go to the next level, he has to acknowledge that he's never been to the next level. He's always just been like third best.
What do you mean? Like for Finn Balor to tell him, say to Roderick Strong, you are never going to be a leader. You're always going to be a follower, is important to say on live TV.
Yeah. To a guy like that.
Why?
If he's going to get better, because you have to acknowledge
to make him better.
Yes. You have to acknowledge what we all feel in order to change the perception. You know what I'm saying?
No,
he's great in the ring. But you're right, and that he's got to cut better promos too if he's ever going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and Finn Balor was saying the reason why is because you don't have a killer instinct like me. You need to, but then he gets cut
which
off.
Is why he's never been the champ or anything. Yeah. He's never even been close, and he's been in NXT, he's been in TNA, Ring of Honor, or NXT his whole life. He's never been on the big leagues. So.
Yeah, and I'm okay with this because
remember he turned on his friends to join Undisputed Era. He wasn't an original member.
And this is what it is. I think it's a case of tough love.
Yes,
you're never gonna get him to that next level unless you fucking say something like this to him. Yeah. Put him in a spot like this. Yeah. Anyway, this was not a bad segment, I guess, because it will lead to.
I do wish Adam Cole came out, but yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the whole reason for the segment was to set up Roderick Strong and Finn Balor as the main event tonight. By the way, this is a good main event, and it makes sense why they're doing this. Not like this bullshit we just saw in AEW. Okay, that's how you build a fucking main event, guys. Anyway, so the way stable is now at the psychiatrist's office. It is not Dr. Shelby. It is this lady named Linda Nicoli. And this is just like Johnny Gargano shouting, and then he gets thrown out. They're all sitting there, and Indy Hartwell's doodling in a notebook like a girl in love, and Johnny Gargano's shouting the whole time, so he gets thrown out. That was the segment. I fucking hated this, man.
Dude, I hate it. Dude, why do they think Johnny Gargano can talk? Every time he talks, it's fucking brutal. He's not a good actor. Mm. Austin Theory's not a good actor. His stupid wife isn't a good... Dude, this was so bad. And at first I thought, like, that's going to be it. And then it went to be continued. And I was like,
oh my God,
gotta be fucking kidding me.
This was so bad. Yeah.
Oh
my God.
Dude,
this is why nobody talks about this show on Twitter. Like, this shit is bad.
Dude, the four people who can't talk, they gave them the most talking on this show.
Oh, I know. It was fucking awful. So, Cameron Grimes sitting with the production trucks in the back, and he's like, I want to do this. And then Real and Regal comes out and go, hey, last week you fucking punched us, a crew member, and now I might get sued. And he goes, because of that, I'm putting you in a match against Bronson Reed tonight. And he's like, oh, Ted DiBiase, you said everybody had a price. You know, that kind of thing, whatever.
Yeah, your price had a price. Yeah, this was funny again. I like the fact that he still hates Ted DiBiase.
Yes, and the commentators mentioned
Matilda.
You know it's building to something with Ted DiBiase, 100%.
Oh, it better.
Yeah, it better. If it doesn't, I'm going to get super annoyed if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Match number two is Aaliyah from the Robert Stone brand versus Ember Moon. Ember Moon hits the Eclipse for the clean victory. It's fine. It's a TV match. It's not a bad match.
Yeah.
There's going to be no, like, bad matches.
No, all the matches were okay at the very
end. Wrestling is never the problem on NXT. Everyone has to understand it. Wrestling is never the problem on NXT. It's just something all the other
shit. Very, very good sports-driven matches. So.
Yes.
Actually, there was a problem with the match. Keep going.
Yeah. So then they do they're trying to interview Timothy Thatcher about Imperium, like, what was Imperium standing there? And he goes, hey, you know, like, I'm at my past, my past coming back to haunt me. And Ciampa's like, oh, man, that's what it is. If the past is the past, it's over. We're over it. And then they go away. So, you know, they're building the storyline, which I think will be a very good storyline. This is going to be good.
Okay. I love the fact that he might already turn on Ciampa. They've only been partners for like a week.
Yeah. They might, but he might not. Like, we don't know yet. Oh, my God. I love Matilda. She's such a cute dog. I love her face. Then we get a really good Io Shirai, Tony Storm video package. I thought this was a good video package, as always. We're going to go to match number 3. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the women's tag team belts. Dakota Kai, as she comes out for this match, she's got like tears in her eyes. Like she's about to, like she's holding back tears. And I was like, whoa. We saw, this week has been a crazy week of title changes. We saw a new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion on Sunday, a new Bobby Lashley being the WWE champion on Monday. In Ring of Honor, they got new tag team champions, and we're going to see another title change tonight. No, we are not. So, I don't know. I think that's why she's crying, dude. So this match is happening. It's not a bad match. I love the commentators playing up the part about Dakota Kai is no longer that little scared girl anymore when she's going up against Shayna Baszler and stuff. You know, she's not a whipping girl anymore, you know, and she's grown a lot. There is a ref bump. And then what ends up happening is Adam Pearce from Raw comes out and he starts going, hey, come. He calls out another referee. Another referee comes out and fucking Shayna Baszler puts Dakota Kai in the Karafuta clutch, even though Dakota Kai is not the legal person in the match. And she like taps out or gets knocked out. I forget, but she got knocked out. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler win, even though Dakota Kai is not the legal person, and they retain. They wrestled through the second hour, started the second hour. What did you think of this?
Hated the fucking finish, but yes. I think it's leading to something because later on, remember William Regal? He said he's gonna make announcements. He's gonna change NXT. This is what. Yeah. Ready? What I think the announcement is.
Tuesday?
No. I'm going to move into town. It's not going to help Dakota Kai. I'm going to help it. I think it's going to be that they're going to introduce women's tag belts that are NXT only.
Okay. I'm okay with that. They've got
because he's probably going to say, how can the NXT teams get a share fake when you have Adam Pearce and these officials like fucking them over? Here's the reason why I think they're going to create those belts. I think Vince said, I'm not going to have an NXT team win these belts. Like, I'm not going to have Dakota Kai running around Raw and SmackDown every week. Mm-hmm. And Triple H is like, well, if the NXT team can never win these belts, what is the point? Like, what are they going to do? Win a tournament so they can lose the champions every fucking year? You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of this fucking tournament? And the tournament was good, the women's tag tournament, you know?
Yes, it was good.
But what's the point if they're just going to lose to whoever's the, you know, whoever the fuck Raw or SmackDown is a champ? So there's so many tag teams now, female tag teams. There's more female tag teams in NXT than there are on the main roster.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think they're going to have their own tag belts.
Yeah. You know what? If they did that, that would be a good idea too. I would be okay with that, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know how would it change. I'm moving to Tuesdays. Like how would that like? How would that like? How would add? Oh no! Don't do that.
Yeah. Imagine that.
My friends at Impact Wrestling.
Can you imagine that news though? They go, we're moving to Tuesdays
because of the ref. We're so pissed.
So then the way we're back with the way at the Shrink's office, and now she gets mad at Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. So she sends both of them out too. And it's only her and Austin Theory. And she goes, I need to know exactly what happened to be continued. LA Knight, you see him in the back and he's like walking and talking. He's like, I'm going to make my way to the ring. What I did like about this, they show Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf in the background conversing. A nice little subtle.
Yes, that's good. Too.
Yeah, I love it when they do these subtle things. You know who does this well? NXT UK. And they're like, I think they're learning from NXT UK. As weird as it sounds, I feel like they're going like taking cues from how NXT UK does things. Like, we should do the same thing.
I'm so impressed.
They show Swerve Scott in a studio with all this music and shit, and he fucking starts shitting on Leon Ruff. I like this little vignette thing they did with Swerve. It gives him
it made him look different finally.
Yes. LA Knight's in the ring and he starts cutting a promo how he's not gonna do these flippy do shit. He's here to kick some butt. And then Bronson Reed makes way down for his match. They trade looks, and then we get match number 4, Reed versus Cameron Grimes. During this match, Cameron Grimes' hat's on the ground. LA Knight comes back out, picks the hat up, puts it in the ring, and distracts the referee, which allows him to like yank fucking Bronson's arm off the fucking ropes, which allows Cameron Grimes to hit the cave-in foot stomp on Bronson Reed for the win. What did you think about the LA Knight promo? What did you think about this match?
Like the promo. Match was fine. I'm glad Cameron Grimes won because he's trying to get over this new gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I guess they got to have LA Knight beat someone, so they might as well have him beat Bronson Reed. So.
Yeah. I thought the promo was fine too. Yeah, and it made sense who Cameron Grimes got to win. They show Adam Pearce and Real and Regal arguing in the back, but you can't hear them. And then we get Carter giving an update on Casey Tanzaro. She's injured. Good. So because she was injured by Xia Li, and she goes, I'm going to face Xia Li next week. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Then they show the shrink again with Austin Theory. And she's like, what happened, Austin? He's like, well, nothing. I was just in this room with no windows. And like, I got to watch TV and I cereal all the time. And she goes, well, I talked to Dexter Lumis and he fucking thought he couldn't stand it. He couldn't wait to get rid of you. He said your eating habits are weird, you're annoying. And this makes somebody in the back thinks Austin Theory's an idiot, basically. And Austin Theory starts crying and he runs away. Johnny Gargano comes in. Turns out he paid her to fucking say all that shit. He gives her money and then he walks away. And you hear Austin Theory crying in the background. I fucking hate it.
I hate it every second. I don't know how many times I can say how much I hate it. I hate Johnny Gargano as a heel. He is not a good promo. He is horrible. This other guy's horrible. Fucking the whole thing. Just a disaster. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I'd rather get a prostate exam than watch another Johnny Gargano.
Dude, how could you hate The Miz when this shit is on every Wednesday? This shit makes The Miz tolerable.
Yeah, this was awful.
It is so fucking bad, bro. Holy fuck, this Johnny Gargano, dude. They're tanking. They're tanking him in his fucking career with this shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I don't care how good a worker he is. This shit is tanking his career, bro.
Who are they tanking worse? Johnny Gargano or Jungle Boy?
Johnny Gargano.
I don't know. He's got a belt at least. Right?
But they're not having Jungle Boy cut these fucking awful promos that he's not ready to cut. Like, he's not.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not saying to Jungle Boy, can you fucking do this sketch even though you have no acting ability? At least Jungle Boy's in the ring. I mean, Jungle Boy did do look pretty bad tonight, but I don't know. Fucking Johnny Gargano, though. But you know what? Here's the thing. Johnny Gargano, I thought was like going to be a main event player. When he was like main eventing NXT, I was like, this guy could main event WWE. This guy's got everything. And
I think like, there was a time where we all thought that.
And now I'm just like, I want this guy off my television. I don't care.
I don't think this guy could ever make it a main event now. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's doomed. I think this has ruined his career.
Yeah. They show Ever Rise in the ring. Breeze Angle comes out and they're doing this goofy entrance. I forgot this tag team existed. I legit forgot this tag team existed. And before they could even finish their entrance, Legato comes out and beats them up. They get in the ring. Ever Rise tries to leave. Santos Escobar throws him back in. They beat the crap out of him. And then Santos Escobar gives a promo about how what happened last week doesn't count. We're not weak. I'm like, well, this is what you fucking happens when you have one guy beat the shit out of three people and make them look like shit. Now you have to beat up four other guys to make these guys look like something. It doesn't do anything. It's just like, it's stupid.
Hey, I tell you, so Monday night there was 50% off sale on WWE.com, WWEshop.com, and I went to buy that Ever-Eyes shirt I want. It was sold out.
Dang, people, I don't, I guess there's, I don't mind Ever-Eyes, but I guess there's people who love them who wouldn't buy the shirts.
I'm not, I think people were all buying it ironically, like me. I don't know. They may, or maybe they only made like five shares, like no one's gonna buy his Ever-Eyes shirt, like all five of them sold out.
I don't think they're a bad tag team. I actually like them.
I just feel like I gotta get that shirt because, first of all, these guys got hired in a time where there's no fans at the arena. And second of all, like, I'm just nervous they could get fired any fucking second. So, like, I got to get the shirt. And then I'll, like, always have an Ever-Eyes shirt. Because it would be the most obscure shirt in the world.
They remind me of Too Sexy. You
know they remind me of the Rougeaus.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. They remind me of, you know, the Brian Christopher... Scott Taylor,
I know, yeah.
When they were like the Too Sexy kind of gimmick, not the Too Cool, Too Sexy.
Yeah, for some reason they remind me of the Rougeaus. I don't know,
because they're Canadian, I guess. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
I think Marlo Rinaldo once compared them to the Rougeaus, but he screamed it. They're like the Rougeaus.
Yeah,
Mamma Mia.
William Regal comes out and he goes, "I'm gonna make an announcement based next week."
Yeah,
based
we talked about that. Yeah,
that Ray went over. And we're going to go to match number five, Finn Balor versus Roderick Strong. So the beginning of this match, it's very, very slow. They're just doing this thing where they're working on the arm, working on the arm, working on the arm, working on the arm. It's like, what the fuck? Why are they working on the arm so much? And it's because they have to do this thing where they're fucking sitting through picture in picture a lot. And then finally, when they come back, the match starts picking up and Finn Balor hits the coup de grace in a 1916 Florida win. Afterwards, Adam Cole finally comes out, stands in the entrance way, and they stare at each other, and they go, "We're going to fight next week." This is an okay match. It wasn't, like, the best match, but it was all right. It was fine. I liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. I really liked it. It was good. And, yeah, I thought NXT way better than AEW. And it's been way better than AEW for a long time now.
It was a better show, even though it had its own faults, like the whole therapy thing, but
yes.
AEW was a more exciting show because I didn't know what was going to happen, but we'll see. I would say, you know, if you miss both shows, you missed nothing. That's what I will say.
Yeah, I will say this. We're not going to do Friday. Andrew Lee's
I'm going to be driving most of that day. I'm going to be exhausted.
Yeah, so, but you're going to be back Sunday. I don't know what time, but we're going to be doing Revolution. So we'll see you Sunday.
Yes.
All right. Good job. Good
job, man. Have a